I'll do, because I barely speak English, and now I got to learn another language. But we're excited to go, and initially what we're going to be doing, or I'm going to be doing, is a bunch of paperwork establishing myself in my permanent visa, not permanent, but my first year visa D, and then getting letters so that I can take my family over to the country of Bulgaria. And so I'd appreciate your prayers as I go over for this process. I know it was asked of me while I was standing in the back, well, it's your calling to the country, and this is still all free. I'm not into my message yet. But I actually was called to the ministry in 2012. And God called me to preach, and he called me to preach when I was in the middle of a place called Afghanistan. I was there 2012 to 2013. I was a medic in the Army, and that is where the Army decided to send me. And God called me to preach in the middle of what I call a God-forsaken part of our earth. And you know what I did at that time? I told God, I'm not going to preach, but I could be a chaplain. And so I went to our chaplain's assistant who was pursuing the chaplaincy and asked him, what do you do to become a chaplain? He said, go get your bachelor's degree, get a master's of divinity, and then get commissioned into the Army. I said, okay, sounds like something I can do. Let's start pursuing that. And so I ended up getting a bachelor's degree through Liberty University in their online coursework. I don't recommend them as a college. They do not have independent Baptist doctrine. They are Southern Baptist. I will say this for that whole experience. They helped me solidify in my doctrine because they challenged every aspect of doctrines. And so I graduated with my bachelor's. And the next thing I needed was a master's of divinity. And around the same time that I started that master's course, God called me to preach again. I told the Lord, no, I'm not going to preach. I'll be a chaplain. The Lord decided I could fail some master's courses. And fail I did. And I view my failure, maybe it was a part of my academics, it could be a lot of things, but the Lord was calling me to do something and I was running. And that's what I can say. And the Lord got a hold of my heart at something called the Capital Connection in Washington, D.C. My pastor took me with him. And at that Capital Connection, the Lord took me through just a series of questions through that still small voice that he has. And he asked me, would you be willing to run for Congress? I said, sure, Lord, I could run for Congress. That's something I could do. He said, would you be willing to run for Senate? I said, I'm not old enough yet, but sure, I could run for Senate. He asked me, would you be willing to run for president? I said, yeah, Lord, I could do that. And then he convicted me, why are you willing to do all these things, but you're not willing to stand in a pulpit and preach? It was while I was at that Capital Connection that I surrendered to preach. Went home, told my wife, we started talking about it, and actually during the course of everything, missions came up, and I asked my wife and talked to her about becoming missionary. She told me, not right now, and I took that as never ask me again. And I told my wife I would never ask her again, but at that point, I knew God had called me to preach, so evidently, if we're not called to the foreign field, we're called to go somewhere here in America. And so I was mentored by a pastor. I ended up finding a place called Metro Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. They called me as their pastor. I spent a year and a half there, not planning on going anywhere else, not planning on doing anything else. But when they called me, they did ask me one question, and their question was, how long do you plan on being here? And I told them, the rest of my life, unless God calls me to Bulgaria as a missionary. And that was my plan up until and even after I resigned, was to be there the rest of my life. You might say, well, what led to your resignation? Well, everybody remembers this thing called COVID. And COVID led to my resignation in July of 2020. At that same time as we're resigning the ministry there, the Lord is calling me into full-time ministry, and I'm telling the Lord, I'm just resigning. How does this work? It makes no sense to me. The Lord used my daughter coming up to me and saying, Dad, can't we just become missionaries to Bulgaria? I told my daughter, go convince your mom. I wasn't going to ask her again. Well, that led my wife to asking me a question, and I found out that through events, God was working in her heart and her life and calling her to the country, calling me to the country, and I have 5 kids that were excited to go to the country of Bulgaria. Went to my pastor next, said, Pastor, what do we do? He said, find a mission board. So I started that process. If you just think there's a few mission boards out there for independent Baptists, you're wrong. There's like hundreds of them. And so we picked a few and started looking and found one that we thought was going to be a good fit for us, but the only problem is they didn't have anybody in Bulgaria. And I got told, well, why don't you go to Romania instead? I had one simple question. God didn't call me to go to Romania. Because he didn't call me there, I'm not supposed to go there. The same time that that door closed, Ed Hembry, who is the Europe director, sent me an email. I told him this, but he didn't know it at the time. But he sent me an email saying, thank you for filling out that pre-application. We're praying for a missionary to go to Bulgaria. At that point, I had an application to finish up. I had a month to get it done. We got our missionary application done in a month. We got everything, and in December of 2020, we were accepted by BIMI as missionaries to Bulgaria. Started a deputation in February of 2021, part-time, and then hit full-time by June of 2021. And just to be quite honest, there's no looking back. God's made it very clear we're supposed to be in the country of Bulgaria. That's where I want to be. I'm excited about going, and I can't wait to get my whole family there and to see what God's going to do as we get there. With all that said, let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And actually, I don't know how often you hear this, but I want to preach something else, but it's what I want to preach, and the Lord doesn't want me to preach it. And so I'm going to go to a passage here where I quite often preach in presentation, and I talk about this thing called light and darkness. And even as we watched through the video, you heard my daughter mention that Bulgaria is in need of somebody to shine the light of the gospel. I could tell you, and as I look around us, our America is in need of somebody to shine the light of the gospel. It doesn't take much just looking around Fort Worth to say, Fort Worth needs somebody to shine the light of the gospel. If we could get down into the subdivisions and get to Hazlitt, but let me just ask you, who's going to shine their light here in Hazlitt, Texas? This world is dark. And yet the darkness shouldn't stop us from being children of light. And it should not stop us from shining our light as our Savior commanded us to do. If you remember that parable where the Christ is talking about this little light of mine, don't hide it under the bushel. At the end of that, he says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we are to be doing as Christians. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, what we find is a command to Christians, and the command is quite simple, walk as children of light. Let's look at this passage, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 8 through 14. If you're there, will you please stand with me if you are able as we read through this passage. Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verses 8 through 14. Our scripture says this, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I just want to ask that you'll be here with us this evening, that you'll give me the words to say, that you would be glorified through this message. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I look through this, the first thing that I see in this passage that we're dealing with here this evening is, for ye were sometimes darkness. I want to look at that word darkness here first and get a complete understanding of what darkness is. And I know we could do a topical study of that. We could look at John where it talks about the consequences of darkness. We could go back to John chapter 1, where it talks about Christ being the light of the world. We could talk about how he has come to expel darkness. But as I think of darkness and I look around the world that we are in today, it gets pretty discouraging. As I look at darkness and I consider the country God's called me to, it gets very discouraging quickly. My daughter in the message said that Bulgarians have religious liberties, but people are still working against that. To the point where when we're there as a family, my boys didn't get to go on the survey trip, but my wife, my daughter, and I went on a survey trip. And while we were there distributing literature, we got kicked out of a village. Why? Because we were distributing literature, gospel literature. And they didn't want it distributed in their village. Let me just say, that's darkness. To keep people from getting the gospel of Jesus Christ is darkness. If we just look at their church, the Bulgarian Orthodox Church, we find a great example of darkness, because when this country opened to missionaries in 2003, they put out an article stating that if anybody accepts one of these books, I'm holding my Bible, but if anybody accepts a Bible from these missionaries, they automatically lose their souls to hell. That's what the religious institution of Bulgaria is putting out there. We're out distributing literature, and the grandmas are coming up to us saying and heckling us, "Why are you trying to send the souls of our young people to hell? Why would you want to do that?" And what you find is darkness. Darkness. As I consider darkness, I also have to consider the history of this country God's called me to go to. For the last 10 years, they've had freedom. Before that, they had anarchy, and that anarchy was right after the fall of communism. And when you have communism and it falls, you find you have a communist anarchy. And what you find is that during communism, they took them from whatever form of godliness they had and transitioned it to God being government. And government failed them. Their God failed them. And now most of Bulgarians, even though they claim to be Bulgarian Orthodox, they're functionally atheists. Just to put a comparison there and get an understanding of this darkness, 75% of Bulgarians believe in Bulgarian Orthodoxy and functionally are atheists. In the United States of America, 50% of our population claims to be Christian and functionally they're atheists. That should be concerning to us. That's the darkness we live in today. But as I look at Ephesians 5 here, before we totally delve into all of this, it says, "For ye." It's talking about you and me. "For you were sometimes darkness." And let me remind you, as the apostle was reminding the Ephesians here, that before your salvation, you are just as bad as those Bulgarian Orthodox. You were just as bad as those communists. You're just as bad as the darkness here in the United States of America. Matter of fact, if we were to examine this more thoroughly, what we would find with this concept of darkness is that when we are in darkness, we are working against God. And when we are working against God, as Romans states it, we are God's enemy. We're his enemy. And isn't it interesting that while we were God's enemy, he died for us? He shed his blood for us. You see, Christ knew how to love his enemies. And he loved you. He loved me before we were saved. Christ died for us. He paid the price for us. And he offers us salvation. The passage here, verse number 8, says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." I'm glad that it doesn't stop there, but it goes on and says, "But now are ye light in the Lord." Where does the light come from? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I get saved, Christ gives me his light so that I'm no longer in the darkness. And that's so exciting. It's so exciting. We go on from that, though. "Now are ye light in the Lord." The command comes for a Christian to walk as children of light. a very plain command, a very simple command, something that we are to go out and do. But if I just posed it as a question, now what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to do this thing called walk as children of light? I'd probably get a lot of blank stares. I don't think many of us would try to raise our hand to answer that. But I'm glad that Scripture doesn't give us a command and just leave us without an answer. Because this passage goes on and tells us exactly how to walk as children of light. We're in a dark world, and in our dark world, we need Christians to demonstrate some things in their lives and to get out there and shine their light so that our Father in heaven can be glorified. What are the things that we need to demonstrate? Well, in verse number 9, it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So, Christian, let me start out by asking the question, are you walking as a child of light? And the first area we can examine is this area of the fruit of the Spirit. Are you demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Are you seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life? If not, then why not? And just for a quick reminder, it's not far back here. It's in Ephesians chapter 5 that we find the fruit of the Spirit. In verse number 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." To walk as a child of light, we need to see these fruit in our life. Notice I didn't say anger. Notice I didn't say a number of other things, but I said what was in Scripture. I wonder, and as I've been around, I seriously wonder, when did anger become a fruit of the Spirit? I don't see people getting saved out of angry preaching. And yet so often I see judgment being preached from pulpits. And yes, we need judgment preached, but it should cause people to repent. And as we preach judgment, we should remind them of the love of Christ. We should be shining our light, leading them to the one that can change their life. I call that love, not anger. We could walk through those fruit of the Spirit and look at each one of them. There are things that we need in our lives. There's something that should be demonstrated. And too many Christians don't demonstrate those in their lives. And why not? Well, because the world's gotten in there. We'll see that here in a little bit. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But if we don't have these fruit, where do we find these fruit as Christians? Verse number 9 tells us, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Are we good? No. We're not good. Are we righteous? No. We're not righteous. Is it natural for us to tell the truth? I don't know about y'all, but I was a pretty good liar before I got saved. To the point where my mom says, "I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not." Even. I couldn't even speak the truth. Where do we find out about those things? We find out about it in God's Word. Christ was good. Christ was the only one that walked on earth who was righteous. Christ was the one that says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And I find out about him, I find out about those things in the Bible. And so, Christian, I encourage you, if you don't see those fruit of the Spirit in your life, then start studying God's Word. Amen. And allow it to develop those fruit in your life. And I believe if we develop these fruit in our lives, what we will see is that it becomes easier to shine our light in this world. Why? Because if I love somebody, I can tell them of Jesus. If I'm angry with them, I'll never tell them of Jesus. I go to anger, and part of that's because before I got saved, I was just plain flat out angry all the time. I was that hypocrite that went to church, that knew what was expected of me. My wife should have found it out, but she married me before I got saved, and she makes mention that you were just angry all the time. That's not what the fruit of the Spirit is. We need to be seeking these fruit in our lives. We should be in God's Word, developing the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we do that, then we'll naturally do what verse number 10 tells us, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walking as children of light, seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we will start proving what our God has said. We'll prove Him. The best example of proving that I find is actually comes out of blacksmithing, and I mention this from time to time, but there's that show called Forged in Fire. And in that show, the cool thing about it is at the end, when they have two contestants, they give them a historical weapon to go home and recreate. And they go home and forge these weapons, and then they bring them back and into the forge, and they take those weapons and they prove them. What do I mean by that? They take them and they cut a side of beef with them. They hack through the ribs. They do tests to them to see how the edge of that blade will hold up. I don't know about you, but if I were to forge a blade, don't take it to a sandbag, please. But they do these things and take these steps to prove that weapon. And here's the same concept, the same idea we find in Scripture, that we are to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. You know, if we follow what's in this book, it's never going to fail us. We have that promise. And here he's telling us to prove our God. It's a challenge for Christians. Walk as a child of light, see the fruit of the Spirit developed in your life, and prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so far, everything we have are positive things out of this passage. And next we get our first negative. It says, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. It just starts out there, have no fellowship. That's convicting, and Christian, it's convicting to a lot of us because we flirt with darkness. We flirt with it when we turn on that television. And we see things we ought not to see. We flirt with it when we go to the restaurants and go to places and are tempted with things we shouldn't be tempted with. I could go down the line here, but what I find in here is, as Christians, is somebody walking as a child of light is an area of personal separation that we should have. And while it's kind of a negative in this sense from the passage, let me remind you, while we're to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, we are to have fellowship, and we are to be separating ourselves unto our God. If we'll do that, we'll grow a relationship with our Lord. And the darkness becomes unnecessary in our lives. Christian, if you're here today and you have sin in your life, I just want to encourage you, repent of that sin so that you can have fellowship with your God. Sin doesn't take away my salvation, but it sure changes this fellowship. It makes it so I can't fellowship with my Father in heaven. And so I need to confess that sin and get it right. I bring this up because so many Christians don't shine their light because they have sin in their life. And it needs to be gotten right. As I look at this, though, I see this, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, and I find a second area of separation. And I'm going to call it that ecclesiastical separation. I'm an independent Baptist for a reason, and I should never go hand in hand with that Orthodox church. Why? Because it's an unfruitful work of darkness. And I'm told right here to have no fellowship with them. But rather, it goes on, and it tells us, but rather reprove them. Go to them and tell them of their error. Go to them and preach the gospel that they've lost. That's what they need. They need reproof. And as a child of light, we are the ones to go into the world and to reprove the darkness that is out there. And we do that by preaching the gospel. As I look at that statement, I mentioned that ecclesiastical separation, I have no problem going to a coffee shop with an Orthodox priest to talk about the Bible. Why? Because they need to be reproved. And I'm not going into their office to be reproved or to reprove them. We're to have no fellowship, but that doesn't take away the responsibility to reprove darkness. We're to be in the world. We're to walk as children of light. We are to confront darkness and shine the light of the gospel. Our passage goes on. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." It's a shame to speak of what Orthodoxy does. It's a shame to speak of what communism does. If I bring it home, it's a shame to speak of the things that the woke movement is doing. It's a shame to think, not think, but a shame to speak of what abortion is doing to our country. Yeah. It's a shame to think and speak of what marijuana is doing to our country. I don't know if it's legal in Texas, but that state just north of us, it's doing a number to them. It's causing problems. It's a shame to speak of those things. And yet we're here in the world to reprove those things. As I go on, it says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Christian, we're commanded to walk as children of light. It tells us here that if we go out and reprove darkness, then we are light. We are light. We have a world that's in darkness, and it needs somebody to shine the light of the gospel. And I'm glad that this passage doesn't just give us the need. It doesn't just show us and tell us how to walk as children of light, but then it gives us a message in the next verse. Tells us that we're to go out and reprove. We're to be the ones that are light in the world. And as we shine the light, it doth make manifest. And we have a message in verse number 14 for our world. It says, "Wherefore he saith," who saith this? It's that child of light. And he says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." What an amazing thing. We have a message to go out into the world and call them to awake from their sleep. Our world is asleep in their sins and their trespasses. They need somebody to call them to awaken. Our world is dead. And they're facing a second judgment. And they need somebody to come and tell them to arise from their sleep. Why? Not because I can do anything for them, but because Christ shall give them light. We point them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as I come to a conclusion here, as we look at our world and we see the darkness, Christian, I ask the question, are you walking as a child of light? Do we have sin in the way that's preventing us from doing that? If we do, there's an altar here this evening. I encourage you, come get it right. Maybe you've never thought about this whole aspect of light and darkness and sharing the gospel with somebody, letting your light shine. Well, let me tell you, it's a command, and it's something we should be doing on a daily basis. We should be doing it in our homes, first off. Christian, if you're not doing it in your home, especially if you have children, then you're doing a disservice to your children. Shine your light in your home. Take it that step further and say, what about your friends and your neighbors? Who's shining the light to them? It doesn't take much to give somebody an invite to church. Take a track and take the step to shine your light to your neighbor and invite them to church. It doesn't take much to take that a little bit further and take it to your workplace. And I ask the question, who's going to shine the light where you work? Christian, you're supposed to be shining your light at work. You say, well, you're a missionary, it's probably easier for you. Well, before I was a missionary, I worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs in the mental health section. And I was the only Christian. And I had to shine my light to people that if I shone my light to them, I might lose my job. Let me just tell you, I had conversations with psychologists who say, I just wish I could believe like you. And then who are they coming to for prayer in a couple weeks? Why? Because we're supposed to shine our light. We're supposed to shine it at work. We're supposed to shine it while we're out and about in our communities, as we go to the grocery store, as we see people. We're to shine it to those who are down and out, who sometimes I like to describe them as those untouchables. The homeless. Those who are down on their luck. We're to be shining our light in this dark world. And we have the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Christian, I leave you with the question, and I'm going to turn this back over to the preacher here. Are you shining your light? Are you obeying this command? It's my goal as I go to Bulgaria to shine my light in a dark world, to call them to awaken from their sleep and arise from the dead. Why? Because Christ shall give thee light. Let's pray. And I'll turn the service back over to the pastor. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I just want to thank you for the day. Thank you for this passage, Lord. It's so impactful, has so much in here to look at. Lord, I just pray that you would take your scripture, that you would apply them to our heart. Lord, use us here this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a great message tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a time of invitation. The altar's open for you tonight, and we're going to sing Jesus Paid It All, and he did. Are you shining your light? Are you shining the light of Jesus Christ? That's the question tonight as we sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all.
Thank you. Maybe seated if our guys get ready for the offering tonight. We'll give a few announcements that we have, and I have some for the teens too. The teen hangout tonight, so everybody's invited to the Moore's house. Just all of us go over there. He just passed out. No, I'm just kidding. This is a teen hangout, so bring money for Whataburger. That'll be right after service tonight, right, brother? Okay, and then camp coming up June the 12th through the 17th, and the cost is $250. Registration forms are due tonight, and so I hope you got those in. Also, junior camp coming up. There's a sign up in the back. We have a ton of kids going to camp this year. We're excited about that, and God always does great things with our kids at camp, and we're excited for that. So just a few announcements. Next Sunday is Promotion Sunday for our kids. They'll be promoting up. Focus on Missions coming up June the 11th, And then, as Pastor always says, read your bulletin. All right? So, gentlemen, if you come forward tonight, we'll take up our offering. Thank you so much for the Shipmeyer, Brother Shipmeyer. That was excellent tonight. Perfect message tonight. And we do live in a dark world. Let our light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Brother Matt's going to come and pray for the offering. Please, sir.
Let's pray. Dear Father, come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, I pray you just take this offering, use it for your honor and for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Tonight I'm excited. We have a young lady get saved, and appreciate Don Shue. He was saved underneath Brother Ogdy and baptized by Brother Ogdy at Lakeland Street Baptist Church. So this morning they asked if they want to join and asked Brittany, or do you know you're saved? And she goes, nope, I want to find out. And I said, well, I know the perfect person to tell you. Thanks to Miss Cindy giving of her time, and she accepted Jesus Christ her Savior. And so we're thankful for that. Pray for Brittany, if you wouldn't. Don Shue's coming by letter from Lakeland Street, and you got a lot of Lakeland Street people in here, so be careful what you say about them over there. We're excited. It's just amazing to see, you know, the fruit of labor from Lakeland Street here. I'm telling you, just we're excited to have you guys. All in favor accepting them, Don Shue by letter, and then Brittany by baptism, letting them by amen. Amen. All right, and if you say no, don't care about you anyway. All right. All right, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in word of prayer. If you would, please come by, give them the right hand of fellowship. And Miss Brittany made the greatest decision of her life. And she punched a hole in the darkness tonight, didn't she? And I'm so thankful for that. I appreciate her decision and her courage to come forth. And we're praying for her. And Don Shue, appreciate you guys so much. Praying for you guys. And so we're excited about that. All right, somebody's praying. That would be Brother Watts. You got it on tonight, Brother. Sorry I stood you up this morning. But I appreciate so much. And the Shipmeyer family, if y'all would, go back to your table. Make sure you get by and greet them. We're so thankful they came. And looking forward to what God's going to do with them, leaving out here in just a few weeks. And so pray for them, if you would.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house tonight and worship. We thank you for the message that we just received from the missionary. We ask that you help us as we go through this world and do our daily deeds to be the light for you. And we ask that you be with all of our missionaries, wherever they may be and wherever they may go. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, these things we pray. Amen.